You might like to turn in the Bible, if you would, to the book of Revelation and chapter 2. Revelation and chapter 2. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, thank you. Thank you. So help us. And our God, we're going to thank you again and again. In Christ's name, amen. We are reminded, as again, just to the pilgrims came over here in 1620 and all of that. And they came because they wanted to be able to read the Bible, believe the Bible, practice the Bible. That's what they wanted to do. And they came over with that intent. The kings, the system, and the countries, and the persecution, all of that caused the exodus over to this country. That prevailed. That was the key factor of people coming to this country, is to seek God in some form. That was the main item. Now, as they came, that all took place, and 100 years go by, and during the, just before 1776, the great revival happened, great awakening, with Whitfield and Wesley and Jonathan Edwards, they all line up, and that influenced and affected our whole country. Is our 13 colonies, and we're all, that's a mood, a wonderful a revival. And in that period, in that movement, out of it came the British doing their thing. And in the process of doing that, it ended up that the decision had to be made, are we going to defend the country or not? And we shared a little bit to remind us that the 30,000, that's hard, awful hard to believe when the ships are so big, the 30,000 British troops, King George's army, landed, headed to New York that in 1776. So, what are we going to do? We're either going to fight or you bend over and yield. And so out of it came the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence is flavored most highly by the God of Moses. They read, as we looked at to remind ourselves, the God of Moses, and Israel's an awesome God. And they wanted to know that God and honor that God. And that God is made very real by the person of Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea and crucified. So it's very real to them. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for that. That's the base. So in the process, the Declaration of Independence is loaded, as we mentioned, all about God, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, in order to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that's what the country, and we mentioned, it's worth saying again, the president, second president, John Adams, second president, and all that, he made it very clear, or at least helpful, that if people are not going to read the Bible and not going to know God, then the Constitution, a declaration in particular, is of no value. It's only to value to people that seek God. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And if there is no pursuit of liberty, and that disappears, there's no pursuit of life. There's no pursuit of happiness / the enjoyment of good, the enjoyment of God. If none of that is, then it's irrelevant. And that helps us understand why it's happening today and is going to continue to happen. To add to that revelation, add to that, keep that in mind if you would. And here in Revelation in chapter, remember now, God's going to give the, back in the days, 95 AD, thereabouts, and the Apostle John is the penman, and he's going to tell us the history of the outworking till the Lord comes. And he does that, A, chapters 2 and 3, about church history, which was just beginning. And we read together, and could read, Revelation 2 and verse 4, "Nevertheless, I am somewhat against thee, because thou hast left abandoned thy first love." It doesn't mean they weren't reading the Bible, obeying. They had no love. What do we read this morning in Deuteronomy? At least noted, chapter 5, verse 29. What was the whole point of Israel from way back here in Egypt, out of Egypt, wilderness, the land? What was the point? God said, you're always the same. You do what you do with no heart. No heart. Got to have a heart. Otherwise, it doesn't last. It doesn't hang in there. Now, so therefore, the church in Ephesus, a wonderful, wonderful assembly, has lost their heart for God. That wasn't that the constitution and doctrinal statement, all of those things, wonderful. But they don't have a heart. And that leads church history, turn the pages, as you know, in chapter 3, to Laodicea. And Laodicea, what do we find? We're at the end of the church age now. And at the end of the church age, you know that I would verse 15, 16, 17, I would that you were either lukewarm or cold. But I mean, I would that you weren't lukewarm. I would either that you were hot or cold. And of course, in the process of that, they aren't hot. They aren't cold. They're trying to be nothing, a lukewarm. And you can't be. There's no such thing as lukewarm. You're either with me or against me, said the Lord. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so the church in Laodicea, which is where we are at the end of the age, what should we expect? We aren't going to find Antioch. We aren't going to find the great, wonderful movement of God. And like in the church age, let alone Moses' day. So here we are looking, and God, you're going to go, and we come to the end, verse, the end, before the end, the end. How are you going to say the end, God? Chapter 3, if I can, and in verse 20. And in chapter 3, verse 20, you will note, you're familiar with it, I'm sure you are. Verse 20. Behold, pay attention, I am standing at the door with the result that I stand there. Perfect tense. I've stood there, I'm standing there. And I am standing at the door and knocking, present tense, knocking at the door, I'm knocking at the door. So you got that. He's standing and knocking. Where is he knocking at the door? And therefore, verse 20, if any, and that third class, they may or may not, you may or may not, if any man hear my voice, that's God's word, hear God's word, and open, hear my voice, and then what? Open the door. And if you open the door, I will come in unto him, and we'll sup with him and he with me. And that's all in the singular. So I'm not looking for groups or gatherings. I'm trying to find somebody. I'm trying to find a whosoever that will believe. I'm knocking. Is anyone believing? I just want to know. The end of the age. Think of Luke, I don't want to get all that, I'll lose the time. Luke 18 and all that. Will I come? Will I find the body of truth that is to be believed? And it's a rhetorical question. No. No. So here we are going down the corridor, and here's our declaration. And in our declaration, with all of its wonderful things about it, God, so we're going to ask ourselves the question, where is God? Where is God going to be found? Where is thy God? That's the question. Now, in order to get that part just a little bit, where is thy God? And the churches, here's our country, bless it, God bless it, and the churches, and here they are. Now, in the process of all the churches, of all the people that still go to church in some form or fashion, ask yourself the question, to what measure is John Q. Public hearing about your God? To what measure is the general public hearing about the God of Israel, the God of Moses, our God and Savior? But they aren't. Basically, that doesn't mean it doesn't exist, it just isn't there. There's great silence. There is not. So where is our God? And therefore, that's an old problem. And we're going to look at it very quickly here. Go over with me, please, to Psalm 42, just for a little bit of, as we look at it, to be encouraged in all of it. Because where is God? We don't hear about God, and we don't see. I'm going to help you understand why. Psalm 42. And Psalm 42, picking up, please, in thought. And you know what? I just want to get the phrase so you can see it, the clause. And if I may, in verse 2, here's, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The heart's looking for God because of the difficulty. My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say unto me, what's the problem? In the midst of the crisis and the crunch, they want to know where her God is. Where is your God? You're in the trouble with all the rest of us? By the way, where is your God? Not where is your church, where is your God? And that's rather personal, direct, and wonderful. Where is our God? Not where is the building, where is this, where is that, where is the gods? Now, and therefore, sliding down quickly, I'm going to go into the sanctuary, verse 4. I'm going to go, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. 4. I had gone with the multitude, the crowd, I went with them to the house of God. And the voice of the joy and the voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept holy day. And then I got in the right place to look to God and realize God was there. And we cried out, why art thou cast down, said my heart? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? They want to know where my God is. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted, all disturbed and twisted and confused in my little head and heart? Why am I disquieted within me? Hope thou, get wonderfully expectant about God, for I will yet praise him for his wonderful help, healing. I shall wonderful his wonderful help of his countenance. God is an ever-present God, and I need to be looking. I'm not looking, remember we shared the other day, we walk by faith and not by sight. If you walk by sight, whatever you see is going to affect you, no matter how you do it. It's going to, because you're looking at it, and you're reacting to what you see, how you see it. Verse 11, verse 10. As with a sword in my bone, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? They're all, we want to know where your God is. So why art thou cast down? I'm not interested. And they said, we don't care about your church or your religion. We want to know where your God is, personal. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted? Repeat it within me. Hope thou in God, and this time it's different, as you know. For I will yet praise him, who is the health, the help, the healing of my countenance and my God. And I look to God, and God is quite content about what he's doing and is able to do. That's why they went and did the declaration, because God's a great God. And when I look to God, God encourages our heart. And then we travel through time and all the Revolutionary War and all of them, with all the hardships and loss and all of it. And God, you've kept us. And men and women, the wars have come and gone. And you've kept us as a country. You've kept us. Unique, youngest country, as opposed to the general history of countries. And we're the youngest in that sense, using history, old history. And now, God, here we are looking. And God, you've blessed us. That's right. We haven't lost a war in the sense of our country being inundated by an army. We haven't done that. So God, you've kept us. That's right. Now, so here we are looking, God, and so where is your God? So that's a normal, wonderful thing. So what is the declaration about? Well, the Declaration of Independence says that you need to seek God. You can't continue the truths of the Declaration and the wonderful benefits of the Declaration if you don't pursue liberty and life and the pursuit of happiness or God or good. If you don't do that. So if people don't do that, and they don't do that. Pursue liberty? What is that? To pursue life? I'm alive. What more do I need? Etc. And we have that. So when that isn't happening, then nothing's going to happen. And the benefits of the Declaration and the Republic for which we stand disappear. And that's what's happening. It's just disappearing because they don't have it. There's no pursuit. There's no movement. Give me liberty. Give me death. There isn't any. There isn't that. There's not. That's foreign. Jeanette was trying to tell me about some guy that was interviewing people about the country. Said, when do you think the Declaration was written? Who do you think we fought the war with and all of that? And all of them were answers I didn't hear. It would be interesting. They didn't know. They don't know. Don't know. Ignorance. Hang on now. I got to do it quickly. So in the process, God, here we are looking. And God, where am I going to find the body of truth? And here's the Declaration, a wonderful opportunity. But if you don't pursue it, if you don't understand it, and you don't look to God, and our country, generally speaking, bless them, the part of it that does, the part of it that doesn't, God, we need to be looking to God as a country. Not other countries do that like we do. We're supposed to do it. Or to look to God, to know God as our Savior and Lord. But we aren't doing that. The churches have become liberal and apostate and full of everything except God. So that's where we're at. So now, as we proceed, so when you aren't going to be surprised at senators and others, like even our own, don't care about the Declaration, the First Amendment, the Second Amendment. They don't care about that. The whole thing can go. The whole thing can go. Some of our people on the Supreme Court, it could go. It could go. There's no need of our Constitution as we have it. And we all take an oath. When we take office, we're going to uphold the Constitution and Declaration. But we don't even understand it or read it. We don't believe it. Hang on. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so as we go down the road, so where is our God? And then the next question is, where is God's Word? God, you're missing. Mm-hmm. God's missing. Now, how are you going to enjoy the benefits of the cost of the 56 signers and the declaration? You don't enjoy them. Not if there's no God. Practically, I don't mean God is. No. We're talking about God and His wonderful grace. And we don't want to have a belief. We have an acceptance of Jesus. People do acceptance. I accept He died on the cross. I accept all of that. And you can even imagine, if you wish, that somehow God cares and loves you. You don't know Him, but He died on the cross, and He cares about people. And you can do that. That is not the same as receiving Him as your Savior. That is not the same as God in your heart, for real. That's a whole nother world. And when you come to the end of 2 Corinthians, I would remind us, for us anyway, chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourself and see if God is in you of a truth, Christ is in you, or else you're an apostate, you're nothing. If God really isn't in you, you aren't saved. That's how we end 2 Corinthians. And the Corinthians need to shape up. Are you saved or aren't you saved? Well, I believe about Jesus and the Bible. But hang on. Again, what about the Bible then? What about God's Word? What are we going to do with God's Word? Over to Matthew chapter 13. So we need to make sure if God isn't going to be involved, then you aren't going to find too many of the wonderful benefits that used to exist in our country. They're going to disappear. And I would guess I wish it wasn't, but it will continue because the end of the age is not going to go uphill, it's going downhill. So when you come to Matthew chapter 13, picking up, as you know, that back in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8 and 9 and 10 and all of that, picking it up, our Lord uses it to tell the condition of back then and of the future. So when you come to chapter 13 again, reminding yourself, if I may, verse 13. 13:13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, said the Lord, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. They don't understand. And in them I fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah, which we mentioned, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For, verse 15, this people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they shall see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. They don't want that. They don't want that. So now, here's God. Where is God? Well, I don't know. Where's God gone? And that's our country. God and country. God and country. Look at the veterans thing. God and country. God and country. What happened? Now, so having said that, then God's Word. So what about God's Word? Now, therefore, they hear, but they don't hear, see, but they don't see, understand, but they don't understand. So therefore, going back, if I can, to Wednesday in that a little bit, Eve went, you know, the devil went and said about eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and eat of that tree and you'll die. We did all this just quickly. And in the process, Eve, in a conversation with the devil, the serpent, then went and said, I understand. And what did she do without any help at all? She said, I understand that. And then she added, Genesis 3 and 3. She added, and if you touch the tree, touch the fruit, you will die. And she added two things that were not true. She added them. We did all that on Wednesday. She added them. What did that do? That gave her liberty. What kind of liberty? What kind of looseness? She took God's word and meshed it with her own. So now, when I think of God and his word, I see, don't eat of the tree. But I also see, don't touch the tree. And then I added, and you shall die. Now, God, when we do that with God's word, what happens? Well, then we have freedom. Because God, I can't change God, but I'm connected to it. I connected to it. And I can, who said, touch not? Eve said, I did. Who said, lest you die? Eve said, I did. So within the next breath, what does she do? She sees the tree and eats of the fruit after just saying that. After just saying that. She went and ate of the tree and disobeyed the whole thing. How could you do that? Easy. I connected my mind, my thoughts with God's. And I did this, and that gave me great liberty to play with it. Out here I can't. Genesis 2 and 17. Don't eat of the fruit or you'll die. But when I add this, I'm free to do it. Now, just quickly to see it. Over if you would, please. That's got that part. That's humanity. That's us humans. We're all in the line of Adam. And you all are here, we're all there, and you have parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and all that, and you have your genetic system, and you've inherited all of the everything that has existed, and it's carried in the parents, and so you become a little baby, and a little baby inherits what? Inherits the whole background of your family and everything, and all humans, and you inherit it. And so that we got that. That's our old nature. That's why we get sick and sorrowful and suffering. That's why. We got it. It's part of it. But God saves us. And God saves us and rescues us. So we aren't complaining about it. We just need to understand it and enjoy being saved. And that's what the pilgrims, that's what a country, that's a declaration. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would. So therefore, going over in that in mind, over to Deuteronomy. Oh, Deuteronomy, if I can, and in chapter 5, just to remind you, you know. Deuteronomy and chapter 5, and picking up, if I may. And you will note, in chapter 5, the technique. It's an old, it's the way it is, even in our day with so-called Christians. Hang on. It's unique. And you have to say, well, how come? Now, here's Deuteronomy chapter 5, and here's rehearsing the wonderful Exodus, and the giving of the Ten Commandments, and Moses reminds them when the Ten Commandments were given that they heard, remember, for time's sake, and that. Picking up, if I can, in verse 23, and it came to pass when you heard the voice of out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that you came near unto me, and even all the heads of your tribes, and you wanted everyone there. Moses, we got to do something. Verse 24. And you said, behold, the Lord our God hath showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice. So there's no question, all 2.5 million of you. There's no question about it. No, not about God. Nope. We've heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen the day that God doth talk with man and he lives. Now, therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, we shall die. Genesis 2:15, the day you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall die. The day you eat of it. We don't want to hear anymore because we can't change that. How do we fix what God says? You don't. You don't. And when you get machines and stuff, don't you have to push the right buttons to get things? I don't know. You have to push the right button to get. If you push the wrong buttons, it won't come out right. It's programmed. It's set. So God, we've got to get away. We've got to, how are we going to do that? Aha! Chapter 5, picking up in verse 26. For who was there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of fire as we have and lived? Now therefore, Moses, go thou near, verse 27, and hear all the words, hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. Now that's the same as Exodus 19 and 8. That's what they said to him in the first place. God, you tell us what you want, and we'll do it. We'll do it on our terms. We'll do it as we understand it. So now, having done that, what can you do? Well, here comes Moses. Now, what do you have now that you didn't have? When at Mount Sinai, how do you fight God speaking from the mountain? How does anyone fight God? You don't. You don't do it. You don't do it. You don't. Wow. But if Moses speaks to us, Moses, his God, and we're going to bring Moses into the picture. When we bring Moses, Moses is just like us, isn't he? Moses, Aaron's his older brother, sister, Miriam. Oh, here's Moses. Moses is just like us. Don't we have, who do you think Moses is? Moses says this, but that's what Moses says. And Moses is just like us, and Moses thinks this about what God said. We think this about what God said. So with Moses, we have been given liberty to play with it because we aren't going to God, we're going to what Moses said, what Moses thinks, and therefore we're free to go and do whatever we want. We're free to do it. And therefore, you have what you have. That's what they did. So when we do that, we have the Judaism. What is that? We're going to all the way down the line. We mentioned this morning we have a king. We need a king. We don't want God to, and the signers of the Declaration, and they all knew that, that Israel chose a king, and down the tubes they went, instead of having God as king. So now, here we are looking, and Moses, and then he dies, and Joshua, and everybody, and judges, but always humans. That's what we want. We really don't like judges. That's why they didn't want Samuel, 1 Samuel 8, to be a judge. They didn't want any more judges. Judges made it very hard. We like to be able to think like we do, and judges came along and said what they said from God. So we don't want any more judges. We want kings to be able to speak our language. And then we can play with kings, and kings can play with us, and governments play with us, and we do that. And we're right now being stretched out more and more, little bits here and there. You know, you got to do this, and make sure you do that. Make sure you stay 5 miles away. Make sure you do that, you know. It's absurd. I say that because it is. It's absurd. 6 feet is not 6 miles. And we're caught in it. We're caught. We can't get delivered. We're caught in it. It's horrible. Now, you say, well, it is my thinking. It is. And I don't want that bondage. And neither do you, by the way. So now, therefore, in the process, so what do we have? We have the Talmud, and the tradition, and we have all of that. So when we come to the church, what do we have? Well, we come to the church, and we have the apostles, and in the early days, in the days of John, the Apostle John's the last living apostle, writing Revelation, the penman for Revelation, and he gives Revelation, and then you have Clement and all of those different ones, and they come along, and they're there, and their Bibles up there, pretty good, 100 AD, 115 AD, go along. But then we're, it's people saying this, and people saying that, and that's what we want. The Bible, Bible plus people, and we like it. And that's what happened. A leads to B to you where you are today with many denominations, many things. So who knows what God said, right? Are we going to pay attention to the strict? We didn't read it, but if you just remember, if you would, in Deuteronomy in chapter 6, 4, 5, and 6. Hear the word, hear God's word, and hide your eye and make sure his word is found resident where? In your heart. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid where? In your heart. His word. And you don't, that's why it says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and mark him out. Don't get complicated. Let God be God in you. Don't try to bring in your feelings about God, your thoughts about God. How big is God? What can God do? Where is God? Where is our God? Where is the Word of God? It has to find residence and home, clearly, purely in our heart. We pay attention to the formula, the recipe. And when you pay attention to the recipe as directed, it works. When you play Philippians 4:6, you don't have to worry about anything. Pay attention to the recipe and you won't worry. If you're going to add and put your thinking into it, and that's why we like it, because the tradition, Paul, Peter, John, James, they're all humans. Who knows which book is which? Which part of the Bible is true? You know? And it's what people think. So we really talk about, but we don't talk about the practicing, generally speaking, across the world. We don't talk about practicing the formula directly. We talk about what we think about it. And we have theology and 2,000 or more different churches. So who knows what the truth is? And the devil's done a wonderful thing because it's all humans, right? It's what I think. That's what the pastor thinks. Who does he think he is? You know, nobody. That's why we read, what does it say? What does it say? You'll be one long time waiting for me to tell you what I think it said. And that's a whole lot of years. I'm going to tell you what it says. What you do with it's something else. And as I learn, and as you learn, and we all learn, we keep getting better and understand better. We try to understand it better. Directly, what does it mean? What are you saying, God? That's why you got to look at it. You got to look at the whole 66 books in order to get the one little truth rightly. So when we talk about the life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, we're looking at it within the full picture, even though in a little verse. So keeping the picture. Now, so having said that, so therefore, we don't want to add and don't subtract from the book. We don't want to take away. And Luther, Calvin, all of those things way back in the Reformation and that. And Luther said, and Calvin said, and so-and-so said, and so-and-so said. But in the days of the Great Awakening with Whitfield and Wesley and all of those, people believed. When you look at Whitfield's life, what he did, thousands of people, I'm overwhelmed. Thousands of people he spoke to, and they all heard him. So I don't know. He didn't have a microphone. Wow. Did you ever think of how Moses and the people spoke to his 2.5 million people or so? Did you ever think how they heard? I wonder, we aren't there, so we never know. I wonder if God does something wonderful when he speaks through his people, even in without anything. They hear what he has to say. Somehow, God, you can do wondrous things. And he does. He does. He does. Now, so here we are looking at God, and so here, and they need to understand. But we aren't going to understand because here's the book, here's God's word, and we're using our thoughts. Think of it. We do it. It's normal. You take your thought, I take my thought, and what do? We go and exercise that thought in such a way. For what? As we exercise it, it's what we think. If I say capital punishment, that's pretty clear in the Bible. But capital punishment means many things. Different things to people, about death, about crime, all kinds of things. And people have that, and they live with that, and they're governed by that. That isn't what God said, necessarily, what they're thinking. But their thinking overrides and outworks what God said. So don't worry about anything, and then you analyze that based on your thinking, your background, and you're going to worry about what you feel you have a right to worry about. I mean, after all, don't you have the right to worry about it? Sure you do. And this is how you feel. Other people don't understand like you do, and you're free to do it. You aren't free to do it based on Philippians 4:6 and that, but you're free to do it when you use your thinking in the light of. You can read Philippians 4:6 and 7, and then you go and do what you do. So we have that kind of thing now, and so don't, in the light of all of that. Now, God, you have to help us. Where is God? Where is his word? Now, God, in the light of that, God, here we are looking. And God, we're going to say what? Well, here we are. Now, be encouraged because the disciples, the 12, were with him for 3 1/3 years, our Lord. Day and night, were with him pretty much. And you know what? They listened to, saw, experienced, but they didn't understand that he was God. We're back to what we mentioned a minute ago. You have to understand the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And that's what you're doing. You're doing business with God. And that's why it's not acceptance. It's reception to believe. Because he's God. And we don't touch it, put anything around it. God in his wonderful grace does what he does in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, God having said that, so here's all of that, and in the light of that, God, here's the declaration. They aren't going to understand the declaration because they don't want to understand. And if there's no God, not religion, not church, but if there's no God, and no word, no Bible, then what does the declaration have for us? Not much. Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, if we don't pursue that, then we don't pursue the declaration, the purpose of it. And so we aren't pursuing that, generally speaking, for the great too many people. So here we are looking to God, and we're looking, and we need to understand and look to God and in pursuit, as we said. And the 56 signers went, and they signed that at great cost, as we mentioned this morning. And they signed it. They signed it with the sacred, remember the last sentence, with their sacred honor, their holy honor. The God, they were looking to God. You wouldn't say sacred honor unless you had God in mind. Sacred honor, God. They're looking to God. That's how they could do it. That's right. How are we going to do it in all? We aren't going to have, things are going to be changing, and more change, as much as we try to hold them, and our president and that, we try to hold them. But you have to understand, the overwhelming mood of the whole world system, influenced greatly by communism, socialism, except liberalism and everything else, is overwhelming. It's overwhelming. Why? Because where is your God? Well, not much. Where is the Bible? Thus saith the Lord. Not much. So we can't expect too much. We ought to pray and trust God for his goodness and his grace, but I'm going to see it. So therefore, God, I need to understand the Declaration's a super-duper document, and our country is a unique in every way. And why did God raise it up? He raised it up. The great missionary thrust came from England, but then moved over to America and all of that. And in the process, God, we've done. We're one of those few countries that we aren't like Russia or China or Islam or something, or Iran. We aren't like them. No. We aren't even like Jerusalem, the Jews. We believe in the God of the Jews, the God of Moses, if you would. Now, over if you would please, as we try to put a little bit, I hope you got a little bit, I just want you to see why people can take the Bible and do what they want with it. And that's what they do. This is what it says, but then you have a feeling, and everybody else, it's humans, and we're free to not get too into it. And that's what you're up against. And you aren't going to overcome it except in your own heart, if you choose. Otherwise, you're going to follow suit. Everything's going the same way. Now, 1 John chapter 5. And remember in 1 John chapter 5, picking up, if I may, in chapter 5 directly in verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written, that's why we're reading them, unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, K-N-O-W, intuitively, naturally, not like A-B-C-D learning it, know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You might believe, that's right, to know that you can believe and have eternal life, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And not only to know, we believe, that's what it's all about. So if humans in the United States have freedom to believe and know God. Verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. God has a wonderful plan for the human heart that believes, that comes to know the Lord as a Savior. Verse 15, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And again in verse 15, that we hear, whatsoever we ask, we know. What are we asking? We're asking for God's will. Now we know we're saved and have life. And we have freedom to look for what? The outworking of God's will in your life. Liberty. The outworking of God's will in your life. Life, liberty. Okay? And that's true. You have freedom. You're supposed to know that. Know that. And sliding down, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding, 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 understanding. They have an ear to hear, but they don't hear, eyes to see, but they don't see, a heart to understand, but they don't understand. I want you to understand. What are we going to understand? Not your feelings about it. Not what you say, well, God may have a plan for my life, but this is it and this is that. No, he made it very direct. I don't play with it. What's it say? You're supposed to know it. So we aren't going around, but well, I don't know if that's true or whatever. No, it is true. God said it. He meant it. So don't add it. We have to get rid of that stuff inside of us that keeps adding to everything and governing. It makes what God says different than what it says. Therefore, verse 20, that we may know, there it is again, that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. Why? In order that we may know again, a him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Wow. That's what it is. It's a wonderful thing. Wow. And God wants us to understand that, to know. Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That's what God wants. Now, over to one other place, if I may. Over to 2 Timothy. We're supposed to be knowing. And in our knowing, you will note in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, directly, who has saved us, God, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began, before you were ever born. God had a wonderful plan. Wonderful plan. Holy, holy, heavenly, happy plan for your life. Mm-hmm. That's it. He's the Savior, to save us in a wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to chapter 1 and verse 7. For God hath not given us, what are you going to say to Timothy? For God has not given us the spirit of fear, cowardness, cringing, coward. But of power, dynamo, and of love, and of a sound mind, so we think right. Yep. Verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed in the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. Paul's going to die, remember. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. That's what we're going to do. God has a wonderful plan for your life, and you're going to work it through. And in working it through, it's a wonderful thing. So slide now, to how is it going to happen? God, tell me, Paul, how does it work for you? You're going to die pretty soon by Nero. Boom, up goes your head or something. Wow. So therefore, we go to verse 12. 2 Timothy 1:12. For which cause I also suffer these things. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Why is that? For I know. What do you know? I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded, absolutely confirming, without reliance, I'm thoroughly convinced. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I'm looking for God's will, for God's honor and God's glory. I'm giving him my heart and my life all the way to my death. Even that's what's going to happen. His death is going to happen. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it all the way to the end. And I want you to know in the process, I have deposited my soul, my 24-hour day living, I have given it to God. I am taking my situation that I live in. I'm in prison. I'm going to die. I'm giving it to, taking my soul, my situation, and I'm depositing it with God. And the society, the Roman society, and Nero will do what they do. But they have to do it and find me in God's safe deposit box. That's where I am, safe as can be. So Nero, you can have my head. Have my head. But you can't have my heart. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word, your work, your grace. So deal with us. Thank you very, very much. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Help us. Help our country. Help us have a little better understanding of why things are happening and why they're going the way they're going. And to be able to rightly understand and speak and do and respond and act and not get caught up in the system that would take away more and more and more of our liberty, our freedom, to honor you, to walk with you, to enjoy you, to trust you without fear, to be able to go down the corridor of time. God help us, one and all. And we'll thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.